The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today could end up being a pretty memorable day in DC sports, depending on how things trend. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Eric Flack standing by. We're going to get to WUSA TV9's reporter on the latest as DC tries to recapture the land, getting it back from the federal government that it could eventually build a stadium for the Commanders on.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condorian Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
All right, let's get Eric Flack on the horn here on the guest hotline. So, Eric, a couple hours ago you tweeted that you had an insider tell you that the RFK bill that we've been waiting to find out whether or not the land was being attached to is coming down the pike today. The spending bill was going to be finalized, and we could get some resolution finally once and for all. And I know within just the last few minutes, you've got an update on that, so give it to us.
Yeah, the latest is that as of now, which is about 3:04 on Thursday, December 12th, that RFK bill is in fact included in this larger spending bill, which means that D.C. really closing in now in the final stages of a full-fledged push to get the Commanders back to the district. Still never official until it's official, but it was a huge hurdle to actually get that RFK bill giving D.C. long-term control of the land into that spending bill. Things change up on Capitol Hill, but as of right now, as we stand right here, it is in that bill. And again, once they agree on that larger spending bill, which really doesn't have much to do with RFK at all, passage is a formality. The debate is over. So once RFK officially gets included in the final version of that bill, it is, for all intents and purposes, a reality that D.C. has long-term control of that RFK land.
So, Eric, a couple times I've been like, okay, yeah, this is it. And then there's a Steve Daines pop whack-a-mole. And then there's like a Maryland senator whack-a-mole. Is this it? In terms of this part, at this phase of it?
Let me put it to you this way. I had a good exchange with a source, and this was actually yesterday. This was before it made it in. And I was like, how are you feeling? And he's like, I'm feeling 70%. There's somebody who wants it in the bill. And I said, so is that like we're almost there? Or like, oh, no, there's a 30% chance that it might not happen. And then he jokingly sent me the Christmas ornament of the Hail Mary. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound good. He said, no, we're moving in the right direction. And I will crack a beer if it gets into the bill. So we're like at crack your first beer time in celebration. Now, the text of this bill, and this is inside baseball, but the text of the bill is probably not going to be finalized until potentially over the weekend. At the point the text that's actually written in stone, then you're kind of like officially official, and then they vote, which again is pretty much a formality. So we've still got some time to, and you know, you've probably followed a lot of the news. I've been reporting on it. Others have as well about the backdoor negotiations that have been going on with Maryland. And so there's always a chance that things could go sideways, but it's a lot easier. It's a lot harder. It's a lot of bigger, longer putt, as you might say, to get the RFK bill into that resolution. That's the big obstacle. Pulling it out is much more unlikely. You know, once it's in there, you know, you're moving in the right direction. So I think everybody on the side of those who want, you know, this resolution to pass, this bill to pass, so the DC can take their real shot at bringing the commanders back, is feeling very, very good right now. So, you know, Danny, yeah, things can change, but right now trending in the right direction with that RFK bill. As of now, sources, Capitol Hill insiders telling me, is included in this bigger, larger spending bill.
Love that. Eric Flack is with us, WSA-TV9's award-winning reporter. Let's say that the land is involved, okay, so in the bill, right? That resolution comes through.
Right.
D.C., that means D.C. gets the land. There's nothing else that needs to happen, yeah?
Nothing else that needs to happen.
Okay.
No, I mean, yep.
So my follow-up to that is the land is D.C.'s. Does that automatically mean that the stadium will be built on that land? Are we confident in that, or is it a whole nother thing now?
Yeah, then you gotta like actually DC's got to cut the deal with the commanders, and you know.
But isn't that a formality at this point?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, $1 billion we don't know. I mean, you know, you can read the room, as we've talked about before, and Mayor Bowser up in the, you know, the suite with Josh Harris and Roger Goodell high-fiving at the Titans game as a formality. But, like, they would have to approve money just like they did for Capital One. So the city council, D.C. council, will have to get involved at some point. They will have to produce, like, here is the agreement. Here is how much Washington, D.C. is expected to pay. I mean, we have a whole lot of steps before we are breaking ground, shovels in the ground at RFK, and they're coming back home, and circle your calendars for 2030, because that's when, you know, the commanders return to the district and to RFK. But the biggest challenge, always going to be the one thing that was going to be the biggest obstacle, was the fact that DC didn't even have the right to make the deal because they didn't control the land past 2037. Now they control this land. They don't own it. They control the land. They have the right to lease it out under this agreement for whatever they want, whether it's a football stadium, whether it's a shopping mall, whatever commercial entity you want to do, you'd be able to do it now at that land. But now you're at the point where DC has to be able to, negotiate with the commanders, say, here's what we're in with. What are you comfortable with? Part of the Maryland contingent's argument was in trying to block this was that federal taxpayers were giving D.C. basically a bargaining chip with the commanders. We're like, we're just giving them this federal land, which they are then going to turn around and give to the commanders for free to build a stadium there, which we don't know for sure, but is fairly likely. But so the agreement between the commanders and the D.C. Still has to be formalized. Now, has talk happened behind closed doors that we don't know about? I mean, it'd be hard not to think that they weren't having exchanged a couple numbers, but again, we don't know any of that for sure.
Eric Flack with us here on Grant and Danny. So you mentioned Maryland here, and how would you quantify this? Like, did Maryland lose? Did they get the concessions? And what does that mean? Because one of the things that they wanted, Eric, as you've talked about before, is what's going to happen to stupid FedEx Field or Northwest Field when you guys are gone? Which is a reasonable question, but it's also, if I'm the team, I'm also kind of going, I don't know if that's my problem or not, but whatever. Did Maryland get their conditions satisfied, and what does that mean in the future, or did they just lose?
They had a couple of big conditions, and there was a lot of smoke and mirror about fighter jets, and the fighter jets may or may not be part of this. But by based on my reporting, there were two huge conditions. One, it was like what was going to happen to the future of FedEx Field, and then the second that kind of developed later on, and this is going to get really politicky, but the Maryland contingent, Senators Cardin and Van Hollen, were negotiating for huge amounts of disaster relief money to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge, because that's the bridge earlier this year in Baltimore that collapsed. Everybody remembered that. And they want a bunch of federal money. We're talking billions and billions of dollars to rebuild it. And at the 11th hour, that became part of the discussion. So you have to, at first it was Governor Wes Moore saying, Maryland can't move forward until I'm satisfied that FedEx Field or the FedEx Field land, the Northwest Stadium land, is going to be taken care of once the Commanders leave. Nothing has been formally released on that. I'm pulling some strings on that, but I think it's safe to say that on some level, Governor Wes Moore and that land issue had been taken care of, okay, because we're here. Then it became, well, what about all the money for the Francis Scott Key Bridge? And that became the sticking point. Hey, we're not going to be cool with the RFK thing if we don't get the money that we want to build the bridge. Seemingly completely unrelated, but that's the way Capitol Hill works. That's the way politics works. At this point, we're hearing the bill is an RFK bill, is in this spending bill, got added to this larger resolution, got attached. So you have to believe that Maryland's side was satisfied with the amount, or is satisfied with the amount of money that they're looking to get out of this bridge. So did Maryland lose? Maryland got what it needed to make this palatable moving forward. They said, okay, if we're not going to like defeat this, we're going to need some chips back to let it go through. And the chips back ended up being on a local level, making sure the Commanders committed to take care of that Northwest Stadium site if and when they leave for D.C. or anywhere else. And B, making sure that Maryland got its Francis Scott Key Bridge money to rebuild the bridge. Again, politics as usual up on Capitol Hill. Those were the big sticking points, and you have to imagine that they were met at this point.
Eric, I want to go back to something you were talking about a few minutes ago, which was the hypothetical that they build in D.C. or try to get that done, and the amount of money that the city would give the Commanders or put toward the project. I mean, do we have any speculation or guesses on what that would look like? I think last we heard, Maryland had already told the Commanders they were forking over like $450 million or whatever to help build up the area around there. And then the second part of that question is, where is the money coming from? Because you told us, and so many others along the way told us, I think, at different points, that they didn't have the money for the Wizards and the Capitals and the Commanders, certainly all three of them. Where are they getting all the money?
So it's going to be creative accounting. There's a lot of ways that D.C. can say that it's contributing financially to this without taking money out of its bank account or charging things up to its spending credit card checking account, as an analogy. First of all, what D.C. does with all of these, like it did it with Audi Field, did it to a certain extent with Nats Park, is they built up the infrastructure. We're going to do the infrastructure. I think Mayor Bowser has already talked about providing infrastructure. And when you're talking about rebuilding that RFK site, the infrastructure piece is going to be huge. That is going to be hundreds of millions, may reach $1 billion just to do that. They're going to have to improve the metro. They're going to make that metro access better. They've got to redo the parking lots. They've got to redo everything. And that's going to be part of that contribution. That's a totally different budget, you know, than, you know, giving money to like redo Capital One Arena or just writing a check for a building or renovation. So you can creatively account for different ways. How much do you quantify for the land that they're going to get for free? You know, if they were to go to Virginia, the Commanders would have to buy land. They are presumably going to get the RFK land for free or at some sort of a lease. You know, does that count? you know, look, I mean, these stadiums cost $5 billion these days. You know, what I've heard they're going to do for a stadium is going to be something that's going to qualify for a Super Bowl, which means you're going to have, you know, 65,000 people minimum, and you're going to have a dome. But they're going to want to do the exact – there are minimum qualifications for an NFL Super Bowl. So you got to imagine that you're in the like $3 to $5 billion range. They've paid some big LA firm, as we've talked about earlier this year, more than $500,000 to a firm that specializes in finding ways to finance stadiums like this. It's literally all this LA firm does is come up with financing mechanisms for municipalities for these sorts of things. So DC is already down the road behind closed doors on figuring out how it's going to pay for it. But certainly there might have to be a new tax revenue source. That's the only way to come up with money when you don't have any money, is to figure out a way to generate money. And usually that means some sort of a tax on business or roads or some sort of a way to come up with the money. But you would have to think that Mayor Bowser has some sort of a plan, with as out front as she has been about trying to get the Commanders to D.C., knowing that there's going to have to be some public financing arm of this, and knowing what the district's books look like as of right now. She has to have a plan, and I think they're working on a plan. What that plan is, Grant, I don't think any of us know for sure right now.
Eric, super quick, because I know you got to jump. Local residents around RFK, I don't have great numbers on this, and it's hard to find really good data, but I know there's a lot of outspoken folks that said, no way, no how, we have no interest in that, and maybe some folks in the D.C. Council's opinions have reflected that. The strategy for them is?
Oh, I mean, it's going to be a loud, big protest. I mean, I've done some reporting on this about what Josh Harris has gone through up in Philly just to get this basketball arena, which he is paying for out of his own money, by the way. Mm-hmm. And even that's been a hassle. I mean, there are going to be loud, loud protests. We are just starting it. I'm of the belief that the protests are not going to be able to override what seems like a runaway freight train of momentum if, in fact, what we believe to be happening right now happens and D.C. gets the land. But there will be loud protests. There have been groups that are already mobilizing. I just don't know that faction of D.C. Council, which once was very strong and once was the majority in opposition of this happening, is the majority anymore. And, in fact, the main power players, the Kenny McDuffies, the Mayor Bowsers, really are in favor of this. And some of the other main players who longly opposed it are opposing it much quieter now. And so the kind of writing is on the wall. But certainly we are about to, if this happens, we're about to enter a huge stage of community meetings, of protests, of we don't want a stadium in our backyard.
All right, but to summarize then for people that joined us midway through the conversation, your reporting is that today looks like it's going to end up being a gigantic step toward D.C. getting the land.
Enormous, enormous, enormous. To summarize, as of right now, the bill that would give D.C. long-term control of the RFK site, therefore clearing the way for Washington, D.C. to bring the Commanders back to the district after 28 years in Maryland, is included in the piece of legislation that it needs to be included in to become a reality in just days. And as we sit here right now, unless something changes, that bill is on track to be approved and clearing the way for what could be a momentous shift of the Washington Commanders back to D.C.
Eric, awesome with us, man. Really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
Much appreciated. Eric Flack, check him out on Channel 9 in town. Game changer.
Yep.
If this comes to fruition here, as he's reporting that it's going to, and I trust Eric's reporting. Pretty amazing, though.
Yeah, I am not spiking any footballs, forgive the pun, just yet, just because I've been burned so many times by, this is it, and then another thing. But that doesn't change the fact that this was in doubt, and this is enormous.
The whole mission.
You can't have anything else without this.
With all of the wins, the losses, the mm-hmm. good, the bad, the undulations, the ups, the downs, it was all to get to the goal line. And the goal line here is, really the end zone is, just to get the land back.
Yep.
and he's reporting they're going to get the land back, meaning this would be the game. It would be over, basically. Now it's up to D.C. to find out how to not screw it up, and you got your land that you always say when you have the land, you'll build the stadium. Well, now you're going to get the land.
Yeah, so like I don't have a great analogy for it, but the things that we would like to have happen, that's all a big waste of time until this happens, right? And this part was in doubt, and now it's occurred. There's still TBD. There's still a bunch of stuff that, as Eric was pointing out, I think really well, where you got pissed off neighbors who don't want it. You got financing issues. You got to do some creative accounting. You got to have this and that. All these different things have to happen, whether they will or won't, who knows. None of those discussions could go forward, and we're all a waste of time until this hour. Like, this thing goes down, now you have a chance.
Week 15 in the NFL kicks off with a terrific game with playoff implications tonight. Let's take our first look at the slate next on Grant and Danny.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The attention of D.C. sports fans this weekend will be on the Commanders and the Saints. A 1 o'clock kick, although it's noon local, Danny, so I don't want you showing up late.
Well, we're going to make our adjustment. We're going to plan accordingly there. Thank you.
I believe we'll do a little breakfast.
A little brekkie.
And then what time do you want to get to the stadium? I'm curious.
I actually didn't think about that. What do you think?
Christian asked me the other night, when do you guys want to be at the game? My answer and your answer, I think, are going to differ on this. Say 12 o'clock kick, when would you want to be in your seat or at the stadium?
In my seat, 11:45.
See, so I thought you might say that. I'd like to be at the game for a noon kick if the gates open at 10, by like 10:30 at the latest.
Okay. What do you want to do there?
I want to walk around the Superdome.
Yep.
I've never actually done that. I've covered many games there, and I've been there with you.
Okay.
But I've never actually walked around and, like, seen the concourses and stuff. And then I want to sit in the stands and watch pregame warm-ups. I want to watch guys run around and catch routes and just take in the atmosphere.
Yeah, so I'd like to get into the stadium around 11:15, 11:20, get your food stuffs, because we walked around last year. I mean, we did that. Not last year, whenever we went a handful of years ago.
I did not. You may
have. Yeah. So did you? What did you do? You went right to your seats or press boxing? Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so we went right to our seats, walked around. Everybody was doing their chants and stuff, and everyone was nice. You couldn't really get around because it's so cramped in there. It's such a dated building.
It's an old stadium.
That it's hard to, like, didn't plan it well. They didn't, like, it's not built to accommodate a swell of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not much room to get by and go around, so you kind of are at the mercy of everyone else. You're sort of inching forward to get to your seat, and that's that.
As the stadium guy, I do have to inform you guys, though, that their concourse has been recently updated. They did a lot of updates to the stadium, so there's a lot of new things to see. It looks a lot more modern.
How do you know that?
Because I'm the stadium guy.
Stadium guy.
So, of course, I know that. Yeah.
Huh. Do you get like, emails?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm subscribed to a newsletter that only stadium guys are subscribed to.
So, like, Ryan wouldn't get it?
No.
Like, I wouldn't get it?
No.
Grant wouldn't get it, probably?
Nah.
Mm-mm. Oh.
Just me.
Just you. Got him.
Well, then we got more to see then.
Renovations. Nice.
I told him you'd probably want to be there closer to kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's if we're all walking together. We could all also do our own thing, too, which would be fine. But he was talking about maybe meeting up at the hotel. It's a 20-minute walk, flat ground, not too bad, several blocks.
Yeah, that by the way, is one of the coolest things. Is like this, it's you're there on the Strip, the Bourbon Street and everything around it, like that whole French Quarter, and you just kind of saunter, you know, along with the teeming masses, just kind of wander that way, and you're right there at the Superdome.
Of Saints fans.
It's great.
That are all in jerseys. Everyone's wearing an Alvin Kamara jersey, basically, at this point. Or a Cam Jordan jersey. And it's just a mass of people all kind of, you know, if you had an aerial shot just headed toward the one part of town where the stadium is, the Superdome. But anyway, it's going to be fun. We will be there, all eyes on the Commanders and the Saints. But I figured we could take a look at some of the other key matchups this weekend. because there's a bunch of playoff important, you know, ramification games that are going to be played. Starting with tonight on Thursday Night Football while we're in the air, the Rams and the 49ers. I'm hoping we have TVs on the plane. If not, I've got to find a way to watch my YouTube TV on my phone, which I feel like shouldn't be that hard. But whatever that is, the finding a way to be on your phone, I can never figure out on a flight. The guy next to me is watching a TV show that's like live somehow. The guy to my right is streaming a movie. The guy in front of me is working on a proposal. And I'm just like not being able to get a text through. Can't figure out how to get on the internet. I don't know how people do this.
Look, I turned it off and turned it back on. Anybody?
How do people get on anything? The wireless is there. I see the little logo when I get on the plane, and then nothing works.
Like, are you an American Delta Sky Miles Reverse Miles like special lookup customer? Like, I don't know.
I'm hoping Clary, because he's young, can help me figure out tonight how to get on the internet and how to stream the football game. But Rams Cardinals, and this becomes pretty significant to the Commanders, obviously. If San Francisco wins, even though they'll creep up on Washington a little bit, the Niners would be 7-7 with three games to play and an outside chance at making the playoffs. At least the Rams would be fended off at 7-7.
Yeah, that'd be massive.
And it'd be a game and a half difference, maybe two games by the time the Commanders hopefully beat the Saints. If the Rams win tonight, now all of a sudden Frisky LA is 8-6 and a Washington loss to the Saints getting upset this weekend, and there's a tie for the final wild card spot.
Yes, indeed.
Now, for the moment, the Commanders would have the tiebreaker because they have the better conference record. But now you're going into a game next week where you play the Eagles. The Rams next week are playing the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Rams beat the Niners tonight and Washington was somehow upset by the Saints, not likely but possible, you would be expected to no longer have a playoff spot at the end of next weekend because the Rams are going to be favored over the Jets and Washington's going to be an underdog. So that's the quick path and math to you want the Niners to beat the Rams tonight.
Without a doubt. And it makes it more complicated. It puts the Rams behind the eight ball, to your point. I mean, they already sort of had their misses, right, where they lost some games early on in the season and struggled. This is what they did last year when then at the end of the year they ripped off a bunch of wins in a row and got themselves into the postseason. But if they lose, it just makes it complicated. And that's good for Washington, who's in, not outside looking in. So, you know, Washington obviously owns their own destiny here. You win a bunch of games, you get in, and that's kind of the end of the story. But if we're talking about scenarios that are realistic, it would not be crazy for the Rams to beat San Francisco tonight. They're 2.5-point dogs. It wouldn't be crazy for them to beat the Jets. So now all of a sudden, they're breathing down your neck. There is a very good path to them winning 10 games. That puts, again, some pressure on you. I don't want it to get to tiebreakers. I don't want to have to go out and go, okay, well, Washington has a better NFC record, but only on Sundays, and then there's two common opponents, and one of them tied. I don't want to do that. Just win a bunch of games and get in. But if we have to face that scenario, tonight is the one you'll probably look at and go, if the Rams win, they're going to make it, you know, put some pressure on Washington here.
This game does not correspond directly to the Commanders, but it is an important one. The Chiefs play the Cleveland Browns at 1 o'clock on Sunday in Ohio. Kansas City's 12-1 and Cleveland is 3-10. Kansas City has a two-game lead on Buffalo for the number one seed in the AFC. But the Bills beat the Chiefs head-to-head. The only loss for Kansas City all year was to the Josh Allen-led Bills. If Buffalo can get even with KC in the win-loss column, they'll have the tiebreaker. The Bills have the most important game of their season, the best game of the weekend by far, 4 o'clock window, 425 national TV kick against the Detroit Lions. So a very losable game for Buffalo. But if the Chiefs were to drop a game to Cleveland, who's playing better.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston puts up a lot of passing yards. They score more points
than they did
with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. They're only 3-10, but they're in most of these games now. We've seen them recently beat Pittsburgh. If the Chiefs lose and the Bills beat the Lions, Buffalo's only one game back with the tiebreaker for the number one seed in the playoffs going through Orchard Park.
So the Chiefs are good. I'm not saying they're not. They're 12-1. Obviously, that's not a great bit of analysis here. But they've been playing with their food a little bit at times. This is sort of like, reminds you of the Celtics big three that's like, we're not going to hit the gas all year long with these veterans and finish with the one seed. We don't care about that. Let us get to the postseason. Some of these teams that have enough pedigree, you know, believe there's another gear they can get to.
So if you look at them overall, in terms of like outscoring their opponents, they're pedestrian. They have a worse point differential than the two teams trailing them, just in the AFC West, for example.
The Broncos and Chargers have a better
point differential, right?
So would not have guessed that.
So Kansas City, again, is 12-1, and they've earned it. They're really good. They're going to the AFC title game again.
You also don't want to play them in the playoffs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, this isn't me knocking them. This is me saying this is where they are. They're due for a couple upsets. They're due to maybe drop a game or two.
Here's some intrigue, another AFC playoff type game, in terms of a team that's going to be in and a team that wants to try to fight its way back into the picture. Dolphins at Texans. Houston does not really pass the eye test at this point. They're 2-3 in their last five games with losses to the Jets, Lions, and Titans. That's two really bad losses.
Yeah.
The Jets and the Titans over the last month. They barely beat the Jaguars, but they avoided even more catastrophe there. So 8-5 Houston. Almost certainly going to win the AFC South. But the Dolphins at 6-7 have to probably run the table to get in at 10-7. They play the Texans, then the Niners, then they finish a little softer with the Browns and the Jets. They are playing a lot better football. They're 4-1 in their last five. Had the one letdown bad performance against the Packers on Thanksgiving night. That was their only loss since early November. But I'm excited to see this game because I think that the Texans are either going to win, it'll feel like a get-right game, and they'll be back where they need to be. Or if the Dolphins win, really two huge storylines. Houston can't be trusted. They're a Super Bowl contender on paper, according to a lot of people, after a big offseason. And then the Dolphins at 7-7 will absolutely be in the mix. They're going to be in that in-the-hunt graphic.
Yeah, so they'll still be trailing, but now they're the team that is doing what the Rams have already started to do, which is gain some ground,
right,
breathing down the neck of a couple of teams that are fine, thinking about the Chargers and the Broncos, who, you know, how much do you trust them in late December-type football? Again, they've had good seasons, both those teams that I just referenced, but are you sure they're going to hold off a surging Miami team?
I told you the Bills and the Lions is the best game of the weekend, and I do believe that. 4:25 on Sunday. There's another really good game at that same time.
It's not Jets-Jaguars.
No. 4:25 on Sunday, Steelers-Eagles.
Yeah.
10-3 Pittsburgh, 11-2 Philadelphia. That is an awesome game.
Phenomenal.
Philly could be even with Detroit at the end of the day. If they beat the Steelers and the Lions lose to the Bills, which is very possible, both of those teams would be 12-2. Tied for the number one seed. Obviously important to Washington because if they stay in the seventh spot in the NFC playoff picture, they're going to the two seed. Is that going to be Philly? Is that going to be Detroit? It'll be one of those two teams. So that's a game you absolutely need to keep an eye on. I love watching Pittsburgh. I know it's kind of ugly and they muck it up and it's defense and running game and, you know, pushing people around. But there's just something old school and fun about a Mike Tomlin coached physical grounding, bruising team.
And their offense is better than you think, too. They've been mildly prolific at times over the last couple of months. By the way, does it surprise you?
That's quite
you?
An endorsement. Not that you're wrong. Like, that's the perfect way to say it.
Yeah, because they get the show against Cleveland.
Mildly prolific at times.
Yeah, I mean, I associate them with 12 points last year, you know, in wins by the offense, like three field goals and like a safety and then some sort of weird like drop kick. Like, that's who they were. Now they're like score touchdowns. Does it surprise you, though, by the way? 5.5-point dogs, Pittsburgh, this week. With everything swirling around Philadelphia, Pittsburgh coming off the loss, 5.5-point road dogs. I thought that was a big number.
That is a big number. Yeah, I would say that's because there's an expectation. First of all, you're on the road. I know it's the same state, but it's going to be well-traveled. Crowd will be there from Pittsburgh. But that's a tough place to go play,
yes,
as we
is.
Saw. So that's a couple and a half points, whatever. And then I would say that there is something to like the banding together maybe after this week of all the turmoil for a good team. I could see something like that. A couple people are asking us, by the way, where we're going to do the show from tomorrow. Assuming we make it to New Orleans in time to broadcast at 2 o'clock, we'll be at Hotel Monteleone in New Orleans, right off Bourbon Street. So if you're near or around the French Quarter, if you're downtown as you land, you should come by. We're going to be, you can walk in, there's going to be signs that redirect you right to where we're broadcasting from. So you should come say hello. And then on Monday, before you fly out, if you're kicking it, during the afternoon, we'll be at Brennan's, which is the best restaurant
just
in
iconic,
New Orleans.
Man.
It's one of the oldest restaurants in America. It's an absolutely amazing, historical, wonderful place. So you should come see us there. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is next. And at the top of the hour, we'll spin you around town, get you the latest on every team you care about in the Beltway Blitz. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Double play brought to you today and every day by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Jeeps, as we embark on this journey today, you, Darris, Ryan, and myself, there has been, cloud is probably too strong. There's been a something shy of a wedge, but a little bit of consternation, if not irritation. Dare I say something that has caused borderline frustration, disappointment, chagrin, a general negativity. And it kind of swirls around me here a little bit. So I'd like to take this opportunity formally on the radio program. It was even brought up earlier today, not long after I arrived. After having forgot my suitcase, by the way, I had to go home and get it. But that's not the point. The point was...
By the way, you were minus 300 to forget your suitcase.
So obvious. I mean,
good to see that bet cashed.
Yeah, packed it, and it wasn't part of the normal routine, so I just jogged right by it. Goodbye, suitcase. Fare thee well. Just sitting at home, and I had to turn around and go back and get it. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. So this is something that's been kind of lingering around, and I don't know if it's caused anger, if it's gotten there yet, but I think if it prolonged and continued, it might. So I'd like to formally take this time here on the double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. To turn to our friend Darris Dameron. Darris, happy haircut, buddy. I saw your haircut. When I got here today, I noticed it. I like it. I'm glad for you. As someone that doesn't naturally notice people's hair, or with all due respect, care what you do with your hair, I know that you cared about this, and you got your haircut at the place that you were talking about last night. Good job. Good haircut.
Well, thank you. Yep. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for noticing.
And
you're not the only one.
That's what growth sounds like.
That is growth, yes.
That's what growth. Yep. So Darris came in. Ryan and I were already here. We gave him a standing ovation. He walked in. We were very excited. Happy haircut.
And Denton. Denton was there, too.
That's true. A lot of yelling, a lot of cheering, a lot of happiness. And then when Danny got in after he went and got a suitcase and went to whatever else he had to do, and he got here and he goes, taps on his computer. Starts talking about lunch, starts talking about this mystery.
There was a lunch thing.
This mystery deal that fell apart at the seams, and all this other stuff that you had going on. It was not your day, I will say.
No, not even good. Yeah, and then we get the notification that the flight's delayed. But it's fine. It'll be fine.
So Danny,
it's all fine,
has said nothing to Darris. So I'm pointing at Darris. Still nothing. He's turning around. He's looking around. He's like, I know. You could just say it. You could say something. But you waited.
We're going to save the formal thing for the air. I think it holds more weight because there's a record of this.
And I agree. I like that we saved it for the air. And I think it played out well. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's a great haircut.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, the funny thing is, I got there too late last night. I thought I could get there like 6:45. It didn't work out that way because there was traffic, because there was rain, so people don't know how to drive. So I didn't get there in time last night. I walked in. The guy was like, sorry, man, can't take you. I was like, all right, cool.
Cool, great. Good news. Thanks.
So I actually had to get up first thing this morning.
Well, I'll just go sit on my hand over here, pal. Thank you.
Pretty much, for real.
So get back in the car? Great.
I ended up going first thing this morning.
And, did you use the picture that you Googled?
So that's the thing. I actually didn't. I actually told him, I said, go ahead and fade the sides and keep the top dark. And he said, you want me to clean up the beard?
Dark?
I said, yeah.
Dark?
Yeah,
is that like a to keep term?
Keep it dark.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to what?
As opposed to like cutting it all the way close. Yeah.
And don't use color. Don't brighten it.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. Yes. Keep it dark.
Now, could I as a white say and have that make sense? Keep the top dark.
I don't think so, because I don't know if you'd ever cut your hair down that far.
So hold on. So if you take more off than you did, is the point that your forehead is not dark? Not your forehead. Sorry.
Top of your head.
The top. Your skull.
Yeah, it'd be more of I don't know. I'm terrible with barber terms, but I'm assuming if he was to cut it any closer, to keep it dark.
That was very casual.
That's just one of those things I always heard my dad say when I was younger. So I just kind of.
So it could be. Is it a Daryl Dameron thing, or is it
barbers know what it is when I say it. So I'm assuming that they know. I'm assuming it's a barber term.
My question is it larger than just your family? Is it a community term, or is it just something that you say in the Dameron family, sir?
I don't know. I wish I knew. Okay. I honestly don't. Okay. It's just something I've known my dad to say, so I just started saying it, and Barbara's do it, so it works.
Because I don't think it's something, like...
What do you think the white version of that is, Darius? Like, what would I say instead of that?
Keep some salad on top there.
Exactly.
Keep a little of the old string spaghetti on top.
Yeah, I just, you wouldn't cut your hair that close. So I don't think that you would say that.
If I was a really close to the head type guy.
Wouldn't you just say, don't buzz it?
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe, is that not a term, buzz cut?
I've never used the term buzz cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. I think that would be the version.
Yeah.
It's like, don't buzz it. Leave some, you know what?
Leave actually, a little bit.
Leave length. I have said that. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, that's the equivalent.
Keep it
there you
dark
go.
Equals leave length.
Yeah. That works.
Okay.
That's the equivalent.
Like, I wonder what would happen if I go, just obviously really close on the sides, fade it up a little bit, and leave it dark on the top. I wonder what would happen.
Leave it dark is a...
And just go ahead and leave it dark.
She would go...
What?
As opposed to not coloring it?
What,
is it, or,
what do you mean? Do you want the...
Like, that's the... You know who didn't leave it dark up top was Joe Burrow when he dyed his hair blonde.
Yeah.
That'd be the opposite of leaving it dark, yes.
Let's go to Marcel, who is in Waldorf. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Guys, long time, first time. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, well, thank you for making
you
the call.
Very much.
We appreciate
That's nice
it.
Of you. Yes.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You guys kind of desperately need a little bit of help with this haircut situation.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Good read by you.
Yeah. So as a black, what Darius is saying when he asked the barber to cut his hair short or dark is basically you're not cutting it low enough to where you're seeing your scalp. So when it's still dark, you're leaving just enough hair to where it's covering your scalp. And essentially, as a black man with black hair, your hair is still dark. So if you cut it a little bit lower, you see more of your scalp and it gets lighter.
Okay. So it's basically like my one guard or two guard. Like you're saying like...
Yeah.
So do you agree that my turn would be like, go ahead and leave some length on there for me. Something like that.
I guess so. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like you're talking about shorter than like, because it's not about styling the top of your hair. This is like basically just a shadow.
No, I think he's saying, yeah, if there's no hair on Darius's head, that
it's lighter than his scalp is lighter than his hair.
The color of the hair is lighter, is darker than the color of the top of your head.
Yeah, you would see the skin on the top of my head if I got it cut any shorter, and I don't want that. I want there to be kind of like a visible darkness of the hair. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just leave it dark.
I think he got us where we needed to go there.
Just leave it dark.
Yeah. We appreciate that, Marcel. That was a great,
very
great call.
Comfortable conversation between friends. Nothing to see here.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I'm looking around. Okay?
I think we're good.
Nobody came running from like down the hall. I think we're fine. Yeah. Right?
Why is CK waiting right outside the door?
Oh, no.
Why is he waving his arms like that?
You know that Juan Soto just said in a press conference, he has not spoken to any of his Yankees teammates since the end of the World Series.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
I don't know who that says more about, his teammates or him. And I love Juan Soto, but that is weird.
That is weird, isn't it?
You've been negotiating. You've been potentially going back to New York. Like, where's Aaron Judge, your captain, doing his recruiting? What is going on? And by the way, let's say you weren't a free agent. Let's say you weren't maybe going back there. You just had a six-month season with those guys every single day. You haven't talked to them at all, your buddies? That is weird. Not one teammate, not one word, he says, since the World Series.
How was Thanksgiving? Good. You just talked to one of your teammates. You know what I mean? Like, not even that?
Let's go Beltway Blitzing next on Grant and Danny.